Welcome back to the show. Thanks again to Bronwyn Eyre, our provincial former Ministry of Justice and Energy, and Doug Richardson, a former Prime Minister's Chief of Staff in Ottawa, both joining us to talk about kind of the political reaction, what we heard from Prime Minister Mark Carney on this U.S. military operation into Venezuela and everything that has followed, the discussions that have followed. And I think what a lot of people worry about is, does this set a precedent, whether it's for the United States to continue similar types of actions, or does this kind of grant license and authority to other countries that might be willing to take this same step? Someone said this morning, what if we hear tomorrow that China decides to step into Taiwan and exercise their authority in the same manner here? Not a parallel. I can articulate all the reasons why it's not, but some of the principles behind the decisions that were made here is what has people worried. So here to talk a little bit more about this, I'm very happy to have my next guest, because what is falling out from this now is, did the United States have the authority? What authority did they use to execute this plan? You should be able to. We talked about this just right off the start of the show this morning. You should be able to say, here's the mission, and here's the legal authority that gives us the ability to carry out the mission. I'm not so sure the U.S. president is great at articulating this sort of thing. I think we heard it from the military leaders. I think we heard it from others in that media conference that have subsequently been talking on this topic. But I'm not sure we got a great definitive definition from the president of the United States. Joining us now is Jeremy Paul. Jeremy is a professor at Northeastern University. He specializes in U.S. constitutional law. And I'm very happy to have Professor Paul joining us by phone. Professor, thanks for taking the call.
I'm happy to be here.
So in my setup, Professor, I talked about there's a mission, a military exercise like this, there's a mission, and then there's the legal authority that gives them the right to carry this out. Can you talk about your perspective of what that was that gave them the ability to execute this mission?
Well, one of the things that I think we're all struggling with is the extent to which the legal authority rationale from the administration continues to change. So at that press conference at which the administration articulated its rationale, both Secretary Rubio and the military officials did define a clear mission. And the mission was apprehend former President Maduro and bring him to the U.S. to hold him accountable for the crimes with which he is charged, principally drug trafficking and conspiracy to commit drug trafficking. And therefore, the rationale that they articulated was he's charged with violating U.S. law, and therefore we need to apprehend him. And we can't apprehend him without military forces because he has military defenders. And so we have to use the military as a part of apprehending him. And that's our legal authority, is he's accused of crimes. We're going to bring him back to the United States. Now, that rationale is questionable for a couple reasons. One reason is that the apprehension took place not on U.S. soil. And the second reason why it's questionable is that at least Maduro would say he was the head of a sovereign state, which therefore would raise serious legal questions. But our government's response to that was that you're not really the head of a sovereign state. You stole the election. You're illegitimate. And had our government contacted the rightful winners of the previous presidential election in Venezuela and was working with them, that would have given them a much stronger rationale for what they did. So that's just the beginning. But then President Trump, in his remarks, he described a completely different set of rationales, which included comments about how our country is going to now run Venezuela. Well, if we're running Venezuela, that completely undermines the rationale that merely all we were doing was apprehending Maduro. If all we're doing is apprehending Maduro, we've got him now. He's in custody in New York. He's about to go on trial. And that would be the end of it. And we would just go away because we've accomplished the mission. So I don't know what the rationale is for the second part. So far, they haven't really identified one.
So I'm curious, Jeremy. We're talking with Jeremy Paul, professor at Northeastern University. I read you were quoted in an article in the Globe and Mail over the weekend about the challenge that comes about when you frame this as a law enforcement operation. Can you speak a bit more about that?
Well, the challenge is that if you really are required to use the military in order to accomplish such a mission, you're basically giving our prosecutors and our grand juries the power by indicting someone to declare war on another country. We don't want to go that far. So it is challenging. Now, it's very important, that we all focus on the legalities. And there are strong arguments that what was done here was illegal. But we also need to remember the realities, the empirical facts on the ground. Maduro was terrible for the people of Venezuela. And I don't want anybody, whether they're a critic of the president or a supporter of the president, to get trapped into this idea that we're defending Maduro, because that's just not the right outcome. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, things are so dangerous and so important that you have to put legalities aside and do the right thing. I'm not saying that was true here, but I do think that it's important not to lose sight of that and to sort of get into this reflexive crouch was, oh my God, the law was violated. That must be wrong. Law is very important. It's a very important value, and we really want our country to follow principle. But there are other values as well.
Can we get you to just clarify something for us as well, Jeremy? This morning, we're an open line talk show, so we had some good conversation with texters and callers in on this topic. And the notion of the lack of congressional approval or authorization for this mission came up. That is not without precedent. There have been numerous examples of numerous presidents that have done operations, whether it's similar to this or just military operations, without getting Congress approval, correct?
Yes, that's been happening more and more. And I think there was many people who would criticize that. In the case of Iraq, President Bush, did get congressional authorization for that. But the closest precedent to what happened with Maduro is the seizure of Manuel Noriega in Panama in 1990 by the first President Bush. He did it. It was not the same as here. People were shooting at our forces. We had the Panama Canal there and made that different as well. But that's the closest. And some people were critical of that as too. But presidents of both parties, here's the problem. In contemporary warfare, sometimes you have to act fast, and you can't wait to get congressional approval. And everybody understands that. For example, when President Obama seized and ultimately killed Osama bin Laden, you don't want him to wait around for congressional approval to do something like that. And those things like that happen a lot. So presidents of both parties have done that. But this is a little different because the law enforcement rationale is a different rationale from the one that you've seen in all those other precedent cases.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk, Jeremy, about this discussion that is playing out? And in fact, I think UN Security Council is meeting right now on this U.S. operation in Venezuela. But the discussion around international law versus U.S. law, how the two dovetail or don't dovetail together, is this offside with international law? And if so, what are consequences?
So two questions. So there, as is often the case, there are two views of international law. I think the world at large is likely to adopt an anti-American position on this, that we interfered with the views of a sovereign nation. But I think that there's a competing view on international law and a couple things. Number one, self-defense is a legitimate ground for interfering or for military action. And the Trump administration is arguing that the drugs pouring into our country allowed us to invoke self-defense. And then the second one, and this is one that our government has not invoked, but still might, is were it the case, for example, that the opposition leaders in Venezuela came to the United States and said, we want your help in ousting Maduro because he's an unlawful leader under international law, that might have given our country the right to go in and help them since they actually won the election. Our government has not relied on that, but that's a plausible thing. So you're going to have that debate in the Security Council. Remember, the United States has a veto in the Security Council. So whatever they debate, whatever they discuss, we're going to veto it, and nothing's going to go anywhere.
Right. And in terms of any sort of ability to be held accountable if it is offside, that veto probably speaks to that.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay, last question. I've only got a couple of minutes left here, Jeremy, but I wanted to talk a little bit about, we've heard a lot about the Monroe Doctrine. It's come up many, many times, obviously, in the last couple of days with everything. How relevant is that today? We've seen different corollaries, different presidents have invoked that speak to the Monroe Doctrine. Can you talk about that and how it overlays this situation?
I think invocation of the Monroe Doctrine creates real possibilities for mischief. The idea of the Monroe Doctrine is sort of those spheres of influence, and it's a message to other great powers around the world that if something happens in the Western Hemisphere, it's up to the United States to deal with it and not you. But, of course, if that were really the case, in other words, if we really going to endorse that, then why wouldn't the Chinese, for example, adopt a similar doctrine about Asia, and the Russians adopt a similar doctrine about Europe. I just think that that's a really bad way to think about this.
Jeremy, I've appreciated you making some time for us. Thanks for sharing your expertise, and we will talk again soon.
All right. Good luck with your show.
Thank you very much. Jeremy Paul, professor at Northeastern University out of Boston, specializing in U.S. constitutional law and speaking to the question, was there legal authority to carry this mission out? And as you heard him say, I mean, this is not absolute. There's lots of murkiness here, and it depends on, you know, what ultimately was the mission. And even that can be argued one way or the other as to whether or not it met the threshold to authorize the legal authority to carry this out. Nonetheless, it has happened. Maduro will be standing trial here with his wife in the next short while in New York. And we continue to pull this apart. In fact, Paul Martin is standing by just after 11, and we'll talk about this from a business standpoint, what this actually means for oil, for business, for our economy. That's another step that we will take in this ongoing discussion. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.